Senator Peters.
Thank you, Chairman Wran, and Ranking Member Blumenthal for putting together this hearing. This is indeed a very important hearing, and we have to get to the root of what was clearly some catastrophic organizational failures. In April, when former athletes testified before this subcommittee, I asked them what questions would they like me to ask of the panelists that would be here today. And Jordan Weber, who is a former Olympic gymnast and a Michigander, she responded both very emotionally and very powerfully. And I quote, she said, "Why still is the reputation of the university and money more important than the lives of hundreds of girls and women who are abused?" I can say unequivocally that the lives of survivors of sexual assault are of the utmost importance, and I'm certainly appalled by what happened, like every American. And we're also appalled by how the complaints were handled once they were made, as well as the inexcusable delay in some of those responses. We must certainly take every possible measure to ensure that a predator like Larry Nassar is never, ever in a position to exploit and abuse children and young women again. Dr. Simon, as a Michigan State alum, and I think I speak for all MSU alum and every Michigander, and I know every American who are deeply troubled and outraged by what we now know occurred on campus, perpetrated by a campus employee who is entrusted with the safety of students. His actions may have also been covered up by other employees. Although the university has agreed to pay a $500 million settlement, this issue, as you know, is far from settled. The trauma experienced by the survivors will have lasting effects that will last a lifetime, and the stain on a great university will be there for decades to come. This settlement grew directly out of a culture that may have enabled a predator. To put it simply, Larry Nassar likely didn't get away with his abhorrent behavior for years simply on his own. The chain of events over the years may demonstrate a culture of complacency at the university. So, Dr. Simon, let me first ask you a couple of questions about Larry Nassar's supervisor. In 2004, you were provost and received a memo detailing the improper behavior of William Strample, who is the dean of the medical school and Larry Nassar's supervisor. The memo cited 20 student complaints. Is that correct? Do you recall that?
The memo was given to me at one of the last days as provost. I recall the memo. It was regarding his meeting with telemarketers in which he made what I considered, what they considered inappropriate comments. One of them was, the reason I went to Hope is I live 50 miles away from Sin. A second one in the memo was, I may be the only straight person in Saugatuck. And that precipitated an investigation by the new provost, John Hudzik, and in consultation with legal affairs.
In 2010 and again in 2015, additional red flags were raised formally about Strample's behavior during his performance reviews with two other provosts. Strample is apparently, which came out during these flags, an individual known for lewdly complimenting female students' anatomy as they walk through the halls of campus, among other things. Is that correct?
Senator, the provost does those reviews. I personally did not see the survey results at which you're focusing. The process is that those get reviewed with Title IX and with the legal affairs if there are issues that are raised in an anonymous fashion. And so I cannot speak to acknowledging the specifics. I've heard some additional comments made by students that have been post Dean Strample's removal as dean, and those are allegations that are being investigated.
Dr. Simon, it's my understanding that in July of 2012, you were on the NCAA Board of College Presidents that voted in favor of sanctioning Penn State. Is that correct?
Technically, I abstained as a Big Ten member.
You abstained?
Yeah.
The horrific events at Penn State certainly was a wake-up call for many people and certainly universities across the country. And I know in August of 2012, it's my understanding you sent an email to MSU faculty and staff reminding them of their responsibility to report sexual abuse and assault.
I did.
The following month, then, in September of 2012, you became the chair of the NCAA Executive Committee in the wake of the implementation of the Penn State sanctions. And as chair, you said your goal was to, quote, build trust and confidence back in the system, end of quote. And then you went on to say, and I quote, the purpose is to try to incentivize people doing the right thing, and the right thing is saying something when you see something and doing something after you said something. It's really that simple, was the end of the quote. Did you mean it's so simple that you can send an email is the extent of what you need to do in order to deal with the situation?
No, I think that we're talking about a set of issues, if you think about the current situation, in which the people nearest at hand who see things need to be empowered to say them at the moment in order for us to have the transparency and the energy for things that are not just a Penn State issue or a Michigan State issue, but a societal issue. And we have yet to achieve that. So it's not that simple in the sense of simple to do, but it is a simple message that we can try to communicate to really make a difference in people's lives if we can make sure that people feel safe in doing that. There have been some progress in that regard. There's been some other things that have not succeeded in bringing that kind of energy to the system.
In 2014, you were informed of a Title IX investigation involving Larry Nassar. And responding to reporters, and it's been reported that you failed to read that report. Is that correct?
That would be an incorrect interpretation of what I believe is the case. I received an email from the Title IX officer saying that there was an individual in sports medicine being reviewed. My comment was play it with a straight bat. It was done in the system appropriately in terms of the system. I do not normally see any Title IX report, particularly one with no finding. They're sent to the responsible administrator, and in this case also to the Office of the Provost.
You said you didn't see one. Did you ask for the report?
I didn't ask for the report because it was simply, I don't know why she gave me that notice. In hindsight, I met as provost president with a Title IX person periodically. We went through hot button issues, any issues of complaints that were problematic to her. But I did not read that complaint and not see it in 2016.
Well, that
it was a no finding.
So I think I've run out of time. I will have more questions if we have a second round, but thank you.